WGN, I don't know if this is the law of unintended consequences. It would seem to me like you could have predicted that maybe some pharmaceutical companies would take a hit on a day like today. Here's Farron Dawgs, founder and CEO at Harrison Wallace Financial Group. Farron, catch us up on where the market is and why is it doing what it's doing?
Sure. Hi, John. Thanks so much for having me again. Well, I think we're just getting a little bit of profit-taking going on here. I think people are thinking to lock in some of the gains they've had throughout the year here, as well as this last week when we saw such a big rally into the market after the election. And, you know, it was probably a little bit overdone because really nothing had changed. And so I think that we were just getting a little ahead of ourselves. So to see a little bit of a pullback, we might be seeing a little shift in the way people are positioning their portfolios, knowing what the new administration's focuses are going to be.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, I think, like, you know, getting away from so much technology, and obviously both candidates' focuses were very different on energy. So we'll probably be getting away from more green focused types of energies and more towards the fossil fuels and natural gases, that type of thing. I also believe that, you know, the defensive stocks will probably do pretty well. I think have one of the president-elect's charges is to really get our military back in a space where they feel that, you know, they've got the latest and greatest technology. And so I think that there will be a lot more money put towards that sector.
I referenced when we came to you today, Farron, that the pharmaceutical companies, which are housed in Europe, have seen their stocks go down in anticipation of tariffs, which will make it maybe more expensive for them to import their products. Or maybe it would just be perhaps it's not tariffs so much as it is just less of a reliance on vaccinations and medicines if RFK Jr. is in charge of our health care. Do you think that's what's moving them down?
I do. I think that it's mostly the announcement of his his nomination and the fact that his focus is to really reduce the reliance on medications for people and consumers. And naturally, that would have a negative effect on pharmaceutical sales, of course, if people are able to get off their medications due to eating better ingredients in their foods.
Yeah. But what about tariffs in general? The markets do not seem to have bothered themselves with the specter of those. I wonder if it's because it won't be as bad, even if they're in place, or because they don't think they'll actually be enacted.
I think it's probably a little of both. I think, you know, the fear of the tariff, I think, has been a little bit overdone. I don't believe that the administration would come in and just throw these huge tariffs on all at once. I think they want to use them more as a negotiation tool to kind of level the playing field. And also, you know, we've tried free trade for decades, right? And it seems as though we're not really benefiting from the free trade. We're getting flooded a lot of times with very cheap products in our country. And that obviously has had a negative effect on our manufacturing here at home. And that's why a lot of manufacturing moved out in the last three decades. And I think to impose some tariffs and to level that playing field, it does give the U.S. producer and manufacturer a little bit more opportunity to keep their products here at home and the consumer buying products from here at home. So I don't, you know, Trump had put in some tariffs in right after his first term, and we actually saw inflation come down during his first administration. So I think people are looking back on that and saying, oh, we thought it was going to be terrible, but now we're realizing it might not be that bad.
By some estimates, though, the tariffs he's proposing would be a tenfold increase. It would be, if nothing else, a matter of scale. you make it sound as though it wouldn't be inflationary. When you say cheap products, I didn't know if you meant cheaply made or inexpensive. I think we're getting both sometimes from overseas, but we're also choosing that over more expensive items. You don't think that this will be hard on consumers, that we'll have to pay more for American-made products?
I don't really think it will be, because I think it will make us, it'll make, you know, the U.S. a little bit more competitive. And to clarify, when I mentioned cheap products, I did mean more inexpensive. But to your point, sometimes we get the poorly made. But I do also think, you know, if we are able to bring manufacturing back over here and create higher paying jobs, it will give the consumer more money in their pocket and maybe be able to afford a more high quality.
Well, are you pro tariffs, Farron? Are you pro tariffs?
I would say I'm not necessarily pro tariffs. I'm pro fair trade, meaning, you know, if other countries are going to do things that, you know, they make it more difficult for our products to be, you know, exported to their countries and for those people to buy our products, unless it, you know, less attractive to buy our products, then I think we have to level that playing field.
Yeah, I get that.
Although we are going to lose that battle.
Talking to Farron Dawgs on the Wintrust Business Lunch, the founder and CEO at Harrison Wallace Financial. We talked a little bit about stocks, the direction they're moving in some of the sectors, tariffs. By the way, so Dr. Bob Frelick was on our show earlier this year, like in January, almost a year ago. He said he thought the Dow would close the year out around 44. What do you know? And he thinks it's even going to be better next year. Do you have a crystal ball like that? What's your forecast for the first quarter, if nothing else?
Sure. I think we will start to see it. You know, this consolidation that's going on, I think, is healthy. And really, we're not giving that much back from pre-election anyway. And I think because of the expectations going forward that there's going to be some deregulation, clearly the new administration will be focused on energy independence. The impact of that should naturally bring down inflation, because it should be less expensive to manufacture your product, transport your product, you know, and the retailer should be able to get it on the shelves less expensive than current. So that should all have a very positive effect. And I think even though the Fed is kind of signaling a pause here, and we may not get that cut in December that everyone was expecting, I think they're reading that, you know, inflation still is very stubborn. And so if we're able to get some of those prices down and control inflation, not just through interest rates, but through production costs and that sort of thing, I think that that will signal a reduction in interest rates as well. And all three of those coupled together should bode very well and positively for the first quarter and really into 2025.
Do you think 2.4% inflation is too high?
Historically, it's not significantly high. You know, I mean, clearly, you look in the 80s and late 80s, it was much higher than what we dealt with in the 2000s and 2010s or 2010s. But I think people get used to that, right? And I don't think 2.4 is really high. I think the core inflation is what is bothering them the most, and that came in really pretty hot at about 3.3 when you took out gas and food. And I think that's what they're looking at, because yes, everyone buys gas and food, but what are these other products, you know, what are these other goods costing the consumer?
Well, one last thing for you, Farron Dawgs. What liberates lower housing prices? Increasing supply would help. A 3% mortgage would help. I wonder what the path is to that.
I'm not sure a 3% mortgage rate is going to help housing prices. I think because then if we do not get the supply available to the consumer, that is just going to have more consumers chasing fewer goods. So I think the key is really to get that supply back online. and continue to provide a good product for the consumer. And yes, interest rates are certainly higher than they, you know, they're more than double what they were 3 years ago. But if we are able to provide more housing at an attractive price point, I think we'll start to see that housing market move again and prices stabilize. Because you look at what you can get for your money today versus 5 years ago, it's night and day. And so I think that's really where the problem has been with housing. I think we're seeing that even in some of the more growthy areas with apartments, we're seeing more and more apartments come back online now after COVID, you know, really stalled a lot of their construction. And for example, in Nashville, we're seeing a lot of apartment buildings come back online or come online, and those rental rates are actually coming down. And I think the same thing can happen with housing.
Well, and if I understand correctly, a quarter point, say, reduction by the Fed does not necessarily doesn't correspondingly reduce a 30-year fixed mortgage by a quarter point. That they don't have that tool in their box, do they?
No, not really. I mean, it's not a one for one, yeah, if you will. Clearly, it will drift down, just like you see in savings accounts and high yield savings accounts. But it's not a one for one, and I really believe that getting our supply back up to where it needs to be is going to be the remedy.
Nice to talk to you today, Farron Dawgs. Farron Dawgs joins us frequently on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Founder and CEO at Harrison Wallace Financial Group. Click on harrisonwallace.com. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.
Mike Long's on the line, the owner of LightQuest Outdoor Illumination. Hey, Mike, welcome to WGN. How are you?
Very good. How are you doing, John?
Pretty good. You and I have met before because I do commercials for you guys. You came out to our house, and as we like to say in the commercial, you illuminated our property. But I want to talk to you about two things, both your business and how it's going, but also the fact that when you worked on my house, the name of your company was different than LightQuest Outdoor Illumination. Why did you change the name? And just talk to us a little bit about that strategy and maybe how it relates to other businesses when you're trying to either rebrand yourself or maybe emphasize your brand, but with a different name. Why did you change the names, Mike?
So two reasons. Mike is not the only one out there doing designs and installations anymore. We have grown a lot since I started this company, which is a good thing, right? So I wanted to get the name Mike out of the name. And I wanted to get the name Landscape out of the name because a lot of clients called us to see if we do landscaping for them. And sometimes landscapers, they don't have a good rap with clients because they've either been taken advantage of or whatever by a landscaper in the past. So I want to get that name out of there too. So that was one of the reasons. Next reason is we want to expand and go to more territories as well. And it just makes us sound like a bigger company. It's a better name. It's a well-remembered name. So those are some reasons why we decided to make that change.
Now, I get it. If there's a bunch of people named Mike doing lighting, then you want to distinguish yourself. I did not think of landscape or landscaping as something that might, you know, get somebody to be a little cautious about the business. I don't have any problems with landscapers, but I don't think of landscapers as lighting pros either, and that's what you do.
Yes. And that was to get the name landscape out there, just focus on just the lighting, outdoor lighting. That was kind of the reasoning behind that. And as we did get a lot of people calling us for, they thought we were called Mike's Landscape and Lighting. So they thought we did landscaping and lighting, but we've never done both. So
okay, but then it looks like you also invented a word too, LightQuest. Was that a challenge? Did that give you pause? Like if I was going to do a Google search, I might not know to look for the word LightQuest. What's your search engine optimization, or how did business improve, or did it dip when you changed names?
No, it's definitely improved. So I hired one of the best rebranding companies in the country called Kickcharge. And they they helped me create the name. They helped me create the logo. They have a whole step, a whole process of every single step along the way, so you don't miss anything, which is very important when you're doing the rebranding. And so that's where that came up. They are very creative people, and they gave me a list of six names. I didn't like any of those. They gave me a list of another six names, and I had about 10 clients willing to look at any of the names, any of the logos, any of the trademark phrases, stuff like that, to give me feedback on it. So that kind of helped me with making my decision as well once we chose the name and stuff like that.
So describe for me the typical client then for your business.
The typical what?
Client. The typical client. Give me your typical customer.
Our typical client is an executive, business owner, doctor, lawyer, higher level education, upper level client. They have, typical age, 45 to 65, live in a nice house, usually have multiple houses, like to vacation. How far do you want me to keep going? We have this down pretty good of what I can keep going with it. So
okay, but it does sound like then this isn't just no knock on Walmart, but it's not me getting those little solar powered plugs I can put in the yard and throw some lighting up. This is a almost an addition to the home, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. And I've spent the last 10 years learning from some of the best lighting designers in the world. I am one of the only, there's a couple other certified outdoor lighting designers in the area. I graduated from the International Landscape Lighting Institute as well, so I spent a lot of time learning how to design lighting. So you're getting a true design. You're not going to create glare. You're not going to tick off your neighbors. It's going to give you a relaxing area to hang out in, for lighting the backyard. It's going to give you something proud to pull up to when you pull up into the front yard. That's what we are creating.
Well, I appreciate how much nicer it makes a property look, but I also like the fact that there's illumination. I mean, you just feel safer. I think the whole street looks safer if there's more illumination on a property.
100%, yeah. Your house, for example, beautiful home built in, I think, late 1800s, early 1900s, is that what it was?
Yeah, mm-hmm, yeah.
Yeah. And it took it from a very dark place to you're not afraid to walk up to your front door, and that's what we're creating. And yes, with that light there, it's giving more light to the neighborhoods and stuff like that as well without creating light pollution.
Yeah, and then when you ran the so we do have a tree like in the corner of the yard. I'm like, well, I don't know how you're going to illuminate that, but you buried, I guess, the cable right along under the grass.
Yep. Yep, absolutely. Yeah, we bury it 6 inches below the grass. Then it allows for, if you get an aeration done, you won't worry about severing that line. And we place our wires so that they're not going to get cut. Does it happen every once in a while? Yes. But we try to place them in areas where they're not going to get cut. And so you have a seamless operation of your lighting system.
Yeah. And then in general, how's business been for you guys? The economy is better. Some people are still having trouble. Maybe it's that K-shaped recovery we're still having, but it does seem to me like there are some discretionary dollars out there these days.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we are actually up this year over last year, which is awesome. This right now is our busiest time of the year. People forget that it gets dark every fall, and when you get home, when you leave for work, it's dark. When you get home from work, it's dark. And guess what? They're tired of that, so they call us, and we are super slammed right now, which is awesome. But there's still room for more. We still want room to get some more lighting done before the end of the year if anybody wants to jump on that list.
How are you for staffing? I ask this to a lot of the businesses we interview, people in the restaurant business, retail, small business. It sounds like that's still a challenge. What's that like for you guys?
Yeah. We do pretty well. We take care of our staff really well, which is awesome. So we don't have a lot of turnover that way. We don't have to hire people like restaurants do where they're hiring 10, 15 people at a time for some of these bigger restaurants. If we had one or two people, that's a whole nother crew. So we just added another person on. He's starting Monday. So we usually have good luck finding staff, a lot of times by word of mouth, which is awesome.
Yeah, somebody drives by the house and go, "Oh, I want that." So, the typically you go out and walk the property with somebody first, right?
Yep. So somebody is interested, they would call our office, and our office staff would set up an appointment with either me or another designer. And it'd be anywhere from people are tight with schedules, so anywhere from a half hour to an hour and a half, depending on how much time they give us. We could walk the property with them, go inside their house, look at their view from inside the house, looking out, because you want to cover that as well. Come up with a design and a proposal, usually before we leave the house that day. 90% of the time, we can give a quote on the spot that day.
Mike Long's on a phone line from LightQuest Outdoor Illumination. LightQuest Outdoor Illumination, which is a couple of years ago, I guess you changed the name of the business. Was it that long ago, Mike?
Nope. It was actually this January. We went live with it January 5th.
Okay. LightQuest Outdoor Illumination. What's the best website for you guys, Mike?
Our website is calllightquest.com. So it looks kind of weird, calllightquest.com. Or phone number, 262-358-9100. Should we talk about the special offer if we have for WGN listeners?
Yeah, go ahead.
So WGN listeners will get a free transformer and astronomical timer with a full lighting package purchase. That's a $605 value.
Yeah, now I love that. I don't have to worry about that. The lights come on automatically. They go down automatically, and I don't have to think about it. Me thinking is usually a bad plan. Mike, it's good to talk to you. Continued success over there.
Thank you, John. It was great to talk to you as well.
Mike Long from LightQuest Outdoor Illumination. More business news on the Wintrust Business Lunch with Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. Two Chicago area powerhouses in science and medicine are teaming up to use artificial intelligence to find new treatments for drug-resistant cancer. UChicago Medicine and Argonne National Laboratory will work together on the project. Researchers at University of Chicago Medicine Comprehensive Cancer Center will use Argonne's artificial intelligence and high-performance computing to screen billions of molecules in the search for new treatments. UChicago Medicine says the goal is to find a treatment that slows or stops the growth of tumors that don't respond to current medications. They're hoping AI accelerates discovery. Here's an update on the E. coli outbreak linked to McDonald's. There have been 104 infections reported with 34 hospitalizations across 14 states. The number of cases is still going up, according to the Food and Drug Administration. Four of the people sickened have a serious condition that can cause kidney failure. The outbreak has been traced back to onions in McDonald's Quarter Pounder. The company removed slivered onions from circulation after the outbreak began. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Now the business of food and Steve Alexander.
Thank you, and hit it, boys.
It was 20 years ago today.
Well, not today, but it was this year.
Yeah, 2024 represents Grubhub's 20th anniversary.
Chicago's very own.
We were founded right here in Chicago by Matt Maloney and Mike Evans.
Dave Tovar of Grubhub says it didn't start out as what it is today, what it was meant to be, and what yesterday's announcement that Grubhub is being sold again means to Chicago. After, I thank the Chevy Silverado for sponsoring us today. There's never been a better time to put a Silverado in your toolbox. Find out how at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Okay, Grubhub's humble beginnings 20 years ago.
They started with a very simple premise, which is to help restaurants digitize their menus, get them on the internet so that people wouldn't have to sift through all these paper menus and things like that. And could just go to one place, find the restaurant that they wanted to order from, and order directly to the restaurant.
Today, Grubhub is
a full-service delivery company that can bring you your favorite meals from restaurants, but also your favorite convenience and grocery items from just about anyone out there right now.
Grubhub evolved into a $7 billion company and was bought out by a Dutch company in 2020. But that company, Just Eat Takeaway, has been trying to sell Grubhub for a couple of years, and yesterday we heard that it has, at a huge discount. $650 million for the company it paid $7 billion for. The buyer is a guy named Mark Lohr. He started Jet.com and sold it to Walmart for $3 billion, and he apparently plans on using Grubhub to deliver meals made by his new restaurant company called Wonder, which is based back east. What that means to Grubhub and its 1,000 employees in Chicago? Not much right away. Dave Tovar again.
It's going to take a few months for the transaction to close, but we are absolutely on track to relocate our headquarters here in Chicago to the Merchandise Mart and get to work in thinking about how we can bring the vision of Wonder and Grubhub to life.
Grubhub, still here, new owner. On the food calendar, it's National Bundt Cake Day and National Raisin Bran Cereal Day. I'm Steve Alexander. That's the Business of Food on 720 WGN.
Here's a familiar name. Rich Gentile, the founder of Santa for a Day, is on a line. Let's talk about the Christmas tree sale to raise money for what you do, Rich. How are you?
I'm well, John. How are you?
Really good. For those who don't know, Santa for a Day does what?
We fulfill letters to kids from underserved communities. In Chicago, we partner with the Chicago Housing Authority, and this year we'll reach about a little over 1,500 kids. And we started in 2018, and it was really, the holidays are such a stressful time for families. We serve 100% of the families we serve are 150% below the poverty line. And so we're really reaching the people that we need to reach and help out. And it started with, just wanting kids to learn the power of the pen, to write a letter and then to share their stories and then to fulfill their wishes, which is important. And the kids get to ask for three things: something educational, which can be a book, it can be art supplies, it can be a desk, it could be a lamp, a desk lamp, it could be a tablet. They get to ask for a toy, something they really want. And then we encourage them to also ask for something that they or someone in their family really needs. Hmm. And so
do you ask them to request those items from a sort of a list? Do they order, or do they just write in what they want? It could be anything.
We do. We have letter writing parties with the Chicago Housing Authority earlier this fall, and the kids write, handwritten letters that will be up on our site, santaforaday.org, at Thanksgiving.
Hmm.
And so, there's so many really great charities during the holidays. And what kind of sets us apart are a couple of things is that you get to read the handwritten letters from the kids.
Yeah.
So there's a real connection to the kid. And then the kid gets a specific wish fulfilled. So it's great for the donor and for the children as well.
Well, am I actually fulfilling that? Like, if I see a letter and go, oh, that kid wants a toy, do I then physically go out and buy the toy? Do I personally satisfy that request?
You personally satisfy it, but the beauty is you can do it right online with a couple of clicks. You get to read the letter.
Uh-huh.
You get to say, I want to buy that. And the nice thing about it, from a donor perspective, is you know that 100% of the money you're giving goes to that gift. So we partner with Amazon.com, and the letters, people buy, fulfill the wishes online. Amazon ships them to us here. We do the entire country from here. We wrap it up, and then our other partner, Uber Freight, delivers it to the different cities, to the families.
You're having a Christmas tree sale to raise funds for some of your costs.
Yeah, we do that every year. We do just 100 trees. We get them from the North Woods of Wisconsin. They're beautiful trees, Fraziers. And we do that the Friday and Saturday after Thanksgiving in Evanston. And you can get a tree delivered, or you can pick it up there.
$150, and you deliver a 7 to 8 foot Fraser from the North Woods of Wisconsin. I like the tree. I like the idea. So if I go to santaforaday.org, santaforaday.org, I can see these letters. I can play along, right?
Right. And for the trees, you'd go to santaforaday.org/product/Christmas tree orders.
I think I can navigate the site. Santaforaday.org. Santaforaday.org. What a great idea. I'm going to click on after the show. Rich, thank you for doing what you're doing.
Thank you for having us.
Rich Gentile, Santa for a Day.